So I've titled the sermon this morning, Running to Obtain. And from the scripture reading that I read this morning, it talks about the fact that athletes work very diligently in their effort to obtain the prize. They run in order to win. And I got thinking about this passage this week, watching the Olympics. Now, it's Winter Olympics, so there's not a lot of running going on. But there are winter type of things that are similar to running, okay? I did a lot of this based upon the speed skaters, okay? I was impressed watching them. I did watch yesterday this cross-country thing where they skied for 31 miles. 31 miles. And the last part of the 31 miles was uphill. And the guy that won it was up in front until kind of towards the very end. And he got to that hill after almost 31 miles. And then he like went into a whole nother gear. And he just blew them away climbing up this hill after having gone almost 31 miles on a set of skis. And it really made me think about, what does it mean to run to obtain? Okay, and I thought there's actually some lessons from what athletes do that we can apply to ourselves as Christians. So if you think about the Olympics, the goal for the Olympics, for all of them, is to win a medal. That's what they all want to do. They all want to win a medal. They'd all love to get a gold. They'd be happy with a silver, and they certainly wouldn't say they wouldn't take a bronze. But that's what they're all competing for. They're competing for those medals. So like I said, I started to think about these speed skaters, okay? How do they ever get to the point that they can do what they do on a pair of ice skates? How do you do that? Well, here's some things I came up with that, again, I think we can apply to ourselves as Christians. So Olympic athletes must work diligently on their sport. Think about that for a moment. You know, you don't become a gold medal winner at the Olympics because you just show up and say, you know what, I think I'm going to try speed skating today. That looks like that could be fun. That would be hilarious to watch. And to some extent, it reminds me, this goes back many, many years, but Eddie the Eagle. I don't know if any of you remember Eddie the Eagle. He was a young man, I think from Great Britain, but I'm not even positive of that, who decided one day he wanted to be a ski jumper. And so he started trying to be a ski jumper, and he was not very good. Okay, he had not trained for as long as the others had. He didn't have any kind of particular skills, technique, or anything. I mean, it was pretty bad. But the people kind of got to like him just because he was trying. He decided to try it, but he was not going to win a gold, a silver, or a bronze. Okay? He just wanted to say he did it. And he was able to say that, and he didn't kill himself, which you're going to jump off of a thing on skis, you're taking your life in your own hands. So he survived it. But he never really worked diligently at it. He had not spent his whole life. Most of these Olympic athletes decided really early in life they were going to be good at something. And they have trained since they were young. They practice every morning, every evening. Every waking moment is focused on crafting their abilities to do whatever that particular event is. So they work very diligently. And then they are totally focused. You have to be totally, completely focused. Again, if you ever watch these people doing this speed skating, you notice they never are looking around and going, hey, John, how's it going up there? Hey, coach, how am I doing? Their eyes are only directly in front of them. They are focused. They are 100% focused on doing what they need to do to win. That's where their focus is. And they put forth their very best effort. I'll go back to the guy that's with the cross-country skiing. He made it across the finish line by about 10 feet, and he collapsed. He just flat out dropped to the ground. He was spent. He did not have enough energy left in him to stand up, because he had put his very best effort into getting up that hill and winning that gold medal. He put forth his very, very best effort. Let's see if we can't apply some of these things to our goal, our job of being a Christian. You know, I mentioned before that working diligently means that you have to really, really work at becoming good at what you do. You don't just walk out there and do it. These people practice the moves that they have to do in order to get the maximum of speed out of a speed skating. He's not even on skates, but he's practicing. He's getting his body, his mind trained so that it just becomes automatic. His body just knows what to do. All his muscles are toned perfectly for doing what it is he's trying to do. That doesn't happen overnight. You've got to work at that. You've got to put lots and lots of effort into that. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 tells us, "Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going." What's the takeaway there? Work hard while we have the chance. You know, someday you're not going to get to work on being a Christian anymore because it's too late. Each and every one of us is going to die at some point. Once we're dead, it's done. So we need to work while we have the opportunity, while we have the chance to make a difference, to learn to be the kind of Christian God wants us to be. And you'll notice that in that passage it says, do it with your might. Do your best. Be diligent at it. Put forth the effort. You know, I'll go back to, there are people who have lots of physical ability, but they never put the effort into really taking it to the next level, right? You've got to work very, very hard. Be really, really good at something. We should want to be really, really good at being a Christian. That means we've got to work really, really hard at it. We've got to be diligent about it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24 offer something similar. It says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So here we're told to work hard, but we're told to work hard for whom? For the Lord. You know, there are some people who work really, really hard at their jobs. Whatever it is that they do for a living, they work really hard at it. But then something suffers. They're so worn out from working hard at their jobs that they don't have the effort, the energy, the time to work hard for the Lord. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 tells us to work heartily for the Lord, not for men, not for the things of this world. We have got to put forth our best effort. We've got to work really, really hard to be good at being a Christian. It's not easy. It is not easy to do the right things. I'll go back to, he is training his body so that it knows exactly what it needs to do when the gun goes off. We need to train ourselves so that no matter what we find ourselves facing, we know what we need to do. And we just do it. That's what you call working diligently. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Just build on the last one. We are here for good works. We are here to serve God. That's what we need to work hard at. That's why we exist. We don't exist to make money. We don't exist to be good at a sport. We don't exist to do a really great job at whatever it is our vocation. We were created to serve God. That's what we need to work on. That's where our focus, our effort needs to be. That's what we need to work diligently on. And then 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Always abounding. You know, that's another thing about these athletes. You can't go work really hard on Monday and then take Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. That's not how it works. If they are going to be very, very good at what they do, they work at it every single day. How many Christians work at being a Christian for 2 hours on a Sunday morning and then take Monday through Saturday off? If we want to be good at being a Christian, to be acceptable to God, we've got to work at it every single day, every single moment of every day. That's our focus. That's what we were created for. That's what God expects of us. So we talked about being totally focused. Like I mentioned, look at that guy. Where are his eyes? They're not wandering around to the people around. They're not looking behind him. They are focused on the goal. They're focused on where he's going and what he's trying to accomplish. It's the only thing that he is paying any attention to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Contrary to what we hear a lot of, we as human beings cannot multitask. We cannot do two things at once. Can't do it. We cannot focus on two things at one time. We can jump between them, but we can't put our full focus on two things at one time. Can't do it. It's humanly impossible. And Matthew 6:24 is talking about money is really talking about the things of this world, the things that the world puts emphasis on. If you think about what we have talked about in our class on Sunday mornings, you look at the news, what does it really come down to that drives most people? Money. Money drives decisions, money drives actions, money drives attitudes, opinions. It's money. Well, if we're focused on money, what are we not focused on? We're not focused on God. We have to make a choice. Which brings me to my next verse. Joshua 24:15. Joshua stood up before the congregation of Israel and said, "If it be evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, one of the problems that the Israelites had in the Old Testament was that they lost focus. They would forget about, they didn't totally forget about God, but they would wander away and think about other things too. They continue to kind of worship him, but their focus really wasn't on him. They kind of would worship some idols. Focus really wasn't on them either, because they wanted to stay one part with God and one part on the other side. They started trying to multitask. Guess what? I meant you're not focused. And Joshua told them, you have to make the choice. You're either with God or you're not. It's just that simple. Joshua made a very strong statement. For me and my family, we will serve God. Can you say that about your life? Can each one of us look at ourselves and say, yep, I've made that decision. I am solely focused on serving God. If not, then we are not doing what God wants us to do. God's expectation is that we are focused on Him. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 37. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Read that again. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Doesn't say most, doesn't say a portion, doesn't say some. All. That means you are singularly focused. Do we do that? Do we put that kind of effort into it? I'll go back to the very best of these athletes. They don't know anything is going on around them other than they are going for the gold. They're unaware of any of the rest of it. Have you ever watched basketball game where the guys are getting ready to shoot free throws and there's people behind them waving their arms, jumping up and down, screaming, hollering, trying to distract them? And the very best of them have no idea there's anybody there. They just get up, focus on their shot, and move on. You ask them about something else, they're like, oh, I never noticed. I didn't know anything was going on. Well, are we that focused on God, on serving God? Do we truly give Him all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind? That's the expectation. Do you remember, the question was, which is the great commandment in the law? A commandment is something you are expected to do. It's not a suggestion. It's a non-negotiable, as they like to say. This is what you are expected to do. Do we do that? Yeah. Think about that a little bit. Think about ourselves. Think about the lives we live. Think about where our focus truly is. What about putting forth our very best effort? You watch these guys that did the speed skating. None of them got done and were just jumping around and hopping around because they had all this excess energy. They were spent. They had to take some time to catch their breath because they had put every bit of energy they had into the task at hand. Well, what about us? Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. This is a passage that Dennis used in a sermon that actually made me start thinking about all this. It says, a son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised, when you offer blind animals to sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. The passage made me think that they were going through the act. They were going through the act of worshiping God. But they weren't giving their best. They just took the easy way out. They looked for an easy way to do what they were commanded to do, but they weren't really, truly trying to give God their absolute best. It's like, well, yeah, that animal's not worth anything anyhow. Let's go ahead and sacrifice that one. No great loss. Does that show a real focus on God? Or is that just going through the motions? And that's what I like I said, that's what's made me start to think about this sermon, this concept of putting forth our best effort, giving God our best. If all of these athletes had just gone, well, that's good enough, it'll work. Yeah, I'm kind of tired today. 15 minutes would be good enough. 15 minutes of practice, good enough. That's plenty. I think they'd be standing up there on that podium getting a gold medal. I don't think so. Sometimes putting forth your best effort means going beyond what you think you can do. It means putting real heart and soul into it, giving something up. That's what God expects of us. I talked a little bit this morning as we were partaking of the Lord's Supper about the fact that Jesus gave up the glories of heaven for us. We sing the song, I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? He was willing to do all of that. What are we willing to do for him? Are we really putting forth our best effort? He made a great sacrifice on our behalf. What are we doing for him? But you know, Matthew 25, 14 through 27, this is parable of the talents. Okay, parable of the talents. And I thought it was an appropriate passage to talk about in terms of putting forth your best effort. Because not everybody has the same abilities, right? I've used this example many times, but I take great pride in the fact that I am exactly the same size as Michael Jordan. Same height. Back in the day when he was playing, I weighed about the same amount as he does. I think I'm actually lighter than him now, but when he was playing, I actually weighed about the same amount as Michael Jordan. So does that mean that I could compete with Michael Jordan? Not on your life. Not on your life. There is absolutely no way. My concept of jumping was, somebody described it as being able to slip a piece of paper under my heels. I did not soar through the air. I did not have near the abilities that he had, the talents that he had, okay? I could put as much effort as I wanted into it, but I was never going to be as good at basketball as Michael Jordan. It doesn't say that we have to put the best effort. The concept is that we put forth our best effort. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 27. Let's read that just to remind us about that passage. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who had one talent went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I've made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also which had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed, so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather what I scattered no seed, where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. One man was given five because he had the ability to handle that, to do with it what he, to do good with it. And he was rewarded because he took those five talents and he used them to the best of his ability to profit the master. But then there was another person who was only had the ability to handle two talents. And he took those two talents, he turned it into two more, and he was blessed because he had done the same thing. He took what he was given and he used it to the profit of the master. Finally, there was a person that was only had the ability for one talent. Now, if that person had taken that one talent and done the best he could with it, and had another talent to give to the master, he'd have been fine. Or as it says at the end, if he'd have just given it to the bankers and earned some interest on it, I'd have been fine, because that was what his ability to handle was. But he didn't do that. He took it and he squandered it. He just hid it. He never made use of the ability that he had. When we talk about put forth the very best effort, it is our very best effort. We can't look at anybody else and say, well, I'm doing better than them. I'm doing good. You remember this parable, it never says that the person who had the five talents did better than the person that had the two talents. They both did the best they could with what they were given. And that was acceptable. The only one whose effort was questioned was the one who didn't do his best, who didn't use what he was given, who didn't profit the master in any way. Think about that. He did nothing to profit the master. He was given a talent, he gave a talent back. Did the master make any profit off of that? No. Did nothing to help the master in his efforts. Didn't profit him in any way. Are we profitable to God? We've all been given some level of talents. They're not all the same. We're not all good at the same things. We've not all got the same abilities. But God has given every one of us an ability to profit him in some way. Are we taking what we've been given and putting our best effort into profiting the Lord? Think about that. Are you? Are you really doing your best, putting forth your best effort? Or do you like to look around and say, I'm doing better than him, so I'm doing good? Do you think any of these athletes look around and say, well, I'm doing better than him, so that's good enough? Or do you think that they all try to do the very, very best they can? They put forth their very, very best effort. That's what God expects of us. Put forth our best effort. The thing is only we and God know if we're doing that. I don't know what your capabilities are. You don't know what my capabilities are. Got to have an honest talk with ourselves. We've got to decide if we are really putting forth that best effort. Because Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, he's talking about a congregation there, but he says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For I say I am rich. For you say I am rich. I have prospered. I have need of nothing. Not really realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Think about that for a moment. I know your works. I know the effort you're putting forth, and it's neither hot nor cold. You're not doing nothing, but you're not really putting forth your best effort either. You're kind of lukewarm. You're just doing enough to get by. Anybody here ever get accused of in school not putting forth your best effort? I'm just doing enough to get by. Doing what it took to get through the class. when I was working on my MBA, I had a class, and at the end of class, there was a final that was worth like 50% of the grade, and a paper that was worth like 10% of the grade. Well, I thought, I've only got so many hours, where am I going to put my time? I decided, I'll do the paper, but I'm just going to do the minimal, least amount, it'll be what it'll be. I'm going to focus on getting ready for the exam. That irritated that professor to no end. I'm taking the final, and he just keeps coming back by me going, I can't believe how little effort you put into that paper. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. I made a decision. And he'd go away and he'd come back again. It just frosted him to no end. And I thought, well, buddy, you know, it's good enough. But you know, I've since thought about that a lot. Isn't how we attack a lot of things? It's good enough. I passed the class. Got a good grade in the class because I did good on the final. I got a D minus on the paper, which is probably more than I deserved. Okay? Because I put no effort into it. Well, do we look at life sometimes in our service to God and say it's good enough? I'm doing better than this person. I'm doing good here. How often do we actually question, am I doing my best? God does not accept lukewarm. Lukewarm is good enough. Lukewarm gets you spewed from his mouth. It's not acceptable. He's looking for our best effort. He's looking for us to be solely focused on him. I've got one more slide here that I'll share with you. It's a picture. Picture of something that was at a denominational church right outside of the schools. It's right across the street from the schools there. I don't want you to focus on what its topic is, because it's about Ash Wednesday. I don't want to have a discussion about Ash Wednesday. But I want you to think about something. Ashes to go. Coffee and treats too. Now, if you really believed that God wanted us to worship him through an Ash Wednesday activity, do you think ashes to go is the right attitude? Does that designate the right kind of effort? The right type of diligence? Do you think that's what he would see as being our best? But you know what? That very much encapsulates how the world views serving God. I got to go through the steps, but let's move it along. Let's minimize the disruption to the rest of my life. It's good enough. Think about what Paul talked about, running to obtain. Is that running to obtain? Are we running to obtain? Or are we beating at the air? Making some noise, making it look like we're doing something, but not accomplishing anything. That's my sermon for this morning. Hopefully it'll cause us to stop and to each think about our effort. Think about how hard we work for God. To think about our focus, what our focus is really on. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're really not focused on God at all, because he's made it very clear what his expectations are for us to take advantage of the hope that he's given us. We've got to obey the gospel. We've got to hear the word. We've got to believe the word. We've got to repent of our past behaviors, be baptized, raised up a new person, and we've got to continue to live as a Christian. That's his expectation. Well, you can't do any of those if you've not obeyed the gospel. But just because you obey the gospel doesn't mean it's all good to go. Are you putting forth your best effort? Are you really putting your all, your whole soul, mind, and spirit into serving God? Think about that. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to do that today. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've been not living your life fully focused on serving God, you need to change that today. And if we can help anybody in any way, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.